I am the door of the sheepfold, not one that's gently hinged or deftly hung, not like the ones you planed at Joseph's place, not like the well-oiled openings that swung so easily for Pilate's practiced pace, not like the ones that closed in Mary's face from house to house in brimming Bethlehem, not like the one that no man may assail, the dreadful curtain, the forbidding veil that waits your breaking in Jerusalem. Not one you made, but one you have become, load-bearing, balancing, a weighted beam to bridge the gap, to bring us within reach of your high pasture. Calling us by name, you lay your body down across the breach, yourself the door that opens into home. Malcolm Gait wrote that great poem about Jesus, who is the door, the only door into being part of the family of God. According to Genesis 1, verse 26, we are made in his image and likeness. Two different words there, image and likeness. God's image means in his spiritual, intellectual, and moral affinity. He's the one from whom we have gotten the right to have life, breathe, and choose. And to be made in God's likeness means we are made in his visual similarities, and also with his audible and structural resemblance, in the sense of his being our pattern or model. We are made to look like the Lord both inwardly and outwardly. To live is to be animated, and to be dead is to be inanimated. Our image and likeness has been damaged by the choice of sin and rebellion by Adam and Eve. Therefore, now we are impaired and polluted by sin every day. But spiritual, intellectual, and moral rightness is perfection in Jesus Christ, and will be made perfect in us when salvation is complete. Now, I'm not going to read it all, but if you'd like scripture to validate that, and you should, read Hebrews 2:6-15. For those who really don't like a rabbit trail, I know it perturbs you, but you know, many times they are profitable, because the truth is, there are things of God which can't be found unless you're willing to rabbit trail. So, here's a little rabbit trail. In the beginning, when God asked Adam what he thought he was doing, Adam threw Eve under the bus, so to speak, saying it was all her fault. And even to this day, Adam is still throwing Eve under the bus. Look at how men view women in other countries. They have rules for women which men aren't willing to adhere to. They beat, abuse, buy, sell, exploit, and generally persecute women simply because they are women. Adam is still throwing Eve under the bus. Why do you think the Lord commands men to love and cherish their wives and for women to respect and listen to their husbands? As seen in Ephesians 5:33. Is it possible those are the very foundational things Adam and Eve did not do in the garden? God lifts women up, but men are still blaming the woman. When will Adam take responsibility for his poor leadership, poor choices, and general lack of spine? And when will Eve cease her underlying contempt and disdain for Adam? I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts, cool jazz and contemplative conversation. I'll be your host, hopefully inspiring us all to think a little further, beyond the surface of our presentation phase. Some days I walk the road from the cafe to the end and back. My feet step on hard dirt and then deviate down towards the river. When I get to the lower edge of the long green field at the river's edge, suddenly The wind cools and I get a whiff of river water. The river. It's really something. Massive, always moving. Something so subtly powerful, it can saw mountains in half. I've got no words for it. At the edge of the Ocklawaha River, there's a silence I think of as divine. A silence which grows when the snow falls. Sometimes I can even catch a whisper of that silence in the tops of the big pines on the other side. It's an inspirational place where the trees gently lean over the river's edge, and every evening is pleasant. Dalet, the door. Jesus is the door, and notice, there are many, many doors to choose from, but only one leads to life, and only one leads home.